When I was in NYU, it seems like a long time ago, it's not so long anymore. I had they had these things they call Sgan Mashgiach. Maybe they still have it. I don't know. I had this guy with Benji Epstein. He wasn't your standard Sgan Mashgiach, but he was probably the funniest person I've ever met in my life. The guy was literally hilarious. Although the story I'm about to say had nothing to do with being funny, but he was telling me about Shiurim. He was in Rutorsky's Shiur. You know, it means so much. And he was saying about like Rusak's Shiur, which I was there for a year. It's amazing how much ground you cover. And he said, if I was in Rusak my whole time in YU, and I only knew a tenth of what a Shiur would be, you know, I would know so much. A common theme that I see of like American schools, and I say American because for my son who's in first grade, it doesn't seem like he's having those same level of struggles that like a Shanaf guy will know, like just knowing things. People don't know anything anymore. Not that I had like the greatest of educations in my life, but I guess I felt like I actually knew things because we weren't. Parents didn't run the show as much back in my day, for better or for worse. So schools were allowed to do whatever they wanted, and it seemed like learning was more of a priority. So one of the main things I hope everyone will get out of this year, in addition to, and I get it a lot of people wanting to with Emuna and really having, you know, belief in God, which is obviously super, super important, is that there should be knowledge. You should know things. So we're just going to say a quick idea. Today is Rosh Chodesh, birthday, and there's a halacha brought down in Siman Taf Yud Tes in Shulchan Aruch. Now, they don't do this. They do like, at the end of the year, they might do, if you know Dafim and Gemara, you'll be able to get incentives. But if they were, let's say, to do Simanim, I would recommend doing Taf Yud Tes. It's all about five words, if even. That there's an idea on Rosh Chodesh that you should have a suda, you should have a meal which would constitute washing. I don't know how simple or not that is, although I imagine at any meal in the yeshiva you could easily get bread. And okay, some people might not want to take it so seriously, but the Stipler Gaon actually had a big harifas for people who didn't take it seriously. And there's a sefer I once read with my wife, and we once saw something that basically what's going to happen is eventually, you know, 100 years for you guys, maybe more, probably under 20. You'll go up to Shemayim, and God's going to ask you, did you keep halacha? And you're hopefully going to say yes. Probably the answer for all of us, including myself, will be no. But the answer, you're going to want it to be yes. And God's going to ask you, you didn't really keep halacha. Okay, fine. Some things are hard. Like, you're with a girl. It might be hard not to touch her. It might be hard, there's certain areas of Shabbos, certain areas. Certain things might be more challenging. But Jewish people like to eat. We like to eat. So at the very least, when it comes to anything food related, you want to be able to say that you did. So if you take nothing else out of this, to know that it is an idea to have a suda on Rosh Chodesh. The main idea of what I want to talk about is chashivas for Rabbanim. Recently, I don't know how many of you know, Rav Moshe Tendler, anyone ever heard of him? He was a Rosh Yeshiva in YU. He was a rabbi in a shul in Muncie for like 70 years, a long time. Not in Muncie, but he was a rabbi in a shul for a very, very long time. He was also Rav Moshe Feinstein's son-in-law, and he just passed away a few days ago. He's still saying Shiva. Right, or maybe they just finished. Last week he passed away, and it got me reflecting. I spent a lot of my lifetime in the YU campus. I went to MTA for 4 years. I went to YU for 3 years. I learned after YU for 3 years. I spent 10 years. And, sometimes you'll have, like, interaction with people that are fake. I don't even have like a fake interaction with Tendler. Maybe I pass him in the hall a few times, and it got me thinking of like my time in YU. One of the Rosh Yeshiva used to say a lot that everyone should know all the Rosh Yeshiva, which is definitely not the case. But I feel like I really didn't know anything about Rav Tendler, and that was definitely, especially being having Sheikhus or Moshe Feinstein, was the greatest of the Rabbanim in the 1900s to live in America. That in and of itself is you can come in. That in and of itself is a reason to have. Okay. Charnashi is here. That in and of itself was a reason. Got it easy. You didn't get the question. That in and of itself was a reason to have had shaychus. But I literally no shaychus. So I was listening to some hespedim, and as hespedim generally go, they're You go into a hesped probably on like the biggest rush in the world, and you'll come out thinking like that person was like the greatest creation known to the world. But obviously by Rav Tendler that wouldn't even necessarily be the case. But something that really stuck to my head is Rav Tendler had a rule, which I know myself would have actually driven me nuts, but he started Kriyas HaTorah at 9:45. I have no idea what time they started davening, but he started Kriyas HaTorah at 9:45. Now, sometimes, like, you know, you'll go to a shul. You may even happen to leave a Torah. Like, you might like singing. You might not like singing. But let's say you don't like singing. So you might get lucky, like on a Shabbos, like Kabbalah Shabbos, like the Chazan's not going to drag it out, and they'll finish like 15 minutes earlier, and you're like, that's amazing! You know, we started the meal 15 minutes earlier. I know for myself, like, I had to, I make early Shabbos basically until they change the clock. So where I have to go now, depending on whether or not Rav Natanael and his family is there, you can literally be talking about 15, 20, on Shabbos Chol HaMoed, we finished 20 minutes earlier than we finished last week, because his family just makes it more Hamish or Levitic, so depending on what you want out of your Friday night davening. But Rav Tenor's rule was 9:45, they start Kriyas HaTorah. So if the guy went up with a fast chazan, they finished at 9:20, that just meant his shiur before laying would be 25 minutes. If they finished at 9:35, it'd be 10 minutes. And he gave a shiur on Shiltos, which is the Peirush Rav Achaigon, which is, like, I don't know what kind of people are in the shul, but definitely an interesting topic to be giving a shiur on. But he held that every single person, so all of you, no matter what you're going to do, unless you're going to become like the Rosh Yeshiva, you know, you're going to be an investment banker or the lawyer or a doctor or an accountant, you know, whatever you're going to do, that he held that every person had a real responsibility and ability to be able to learn Torah. And one of the Baal Batim would say that if you were in a Tenler shul, Shabbos wasn't like other places. Like, a normal person, you were a normal person. You went to work every day. You were learning 2.5 hours on Shabbos because he had shiurim throughout davening, throughout Shabbos. So, you know, I guess it could depend. Everyone could have different perspectives on whether or not they would appreciate that or not. But it was really, it really stuck with me on how incredible that is and how incredible a responsibility everybody has. Another story, I remember Aryeh Leibowitz, any of you from North Woodmere, it's a rabbi in North Woodmere and director of REITs for YU. Aryeh Leibowitz, when he was a few years ago, he put out a sefer on Tzitzis, Tefillin, an excellent, excellent sefer, which he recommended for each and every one of you. He was at a chasana for anyone Sparty here. We're not going to make Sparty jokes. He didn't know this. He was at a chasana for a Sparty. He didn't realize that Sparty wedding, when they say like 6 o'clock, it doesn't really mean 6 o'clock. Okay, so while he was waiting for the wedding to start, he got a call. He was the only one there, basically. He got a call from Rav Tendler. Rav Tendler was 91, Ray Leibowitz was 38. So you can put that in perspective. And he told him, Ray Leibowitz, he has a little bit of a kesher from his family, they're sort of related. He's like, Ray Leibowitz, I want you to know your sefer. I read every word in your sefer. It was amazing, and you should continue to write. It was amazing what you put out. And when you're thinking about that, like, imagine someone 50 years older than you calling you and who's a massive, massive Talmid Chacham, who's acknowledging what you did was incredible, really spoke wonders. And I know from, like, myself, there was, I try to reach out to people, maybe because I fundraise for a living, so I actually have to do that professionally, and it just integrates into my personal life as well. But a few years ago, I was reaching out to somebody who I don't talk to often. It's not a guy, like, I would have to scroll way down to find him on the WhatsApp. And he was telling me that I'm like, oh, how's everything going? Like, you know, they're like, okay, you ask him how it's going. Okay, things are great. Like, things could be great, or you could, like, literally be like hanging by a thread off a bridge. Like, you're gonna say things are great. And he told me, actually, my 2-year-old son is going through cancer, and, like, you know, if you could spread it around, whatever. Like, it's been very, very hard for me. And now sporadically, I'll ask him how his son is doing. And it just, like, and he was, like, so touched, and it really, and we all have that ability. Like, you reach out besides, like, family, if you call, like, your grandparents, and even though you'll have that same, you know, we all go through it, whether you have a really close or a non-close relationship, the conversation with the grandparents, I see when my kids talk to my parents, and my father-in-law, it's the exact same conversation every time, but it means everything to your grandparents when you call them. And when you reach out to random people, like, we had, unfortunately, last year, it was an alumnus who took his life, and when I was speaking to basically that entire year, every guy from the year that I was speaking to, the common denominator they were all saying, you come in, we're not. The common denominator they were all saying is their biggest regret is that, you know, they just don't reach out to people. Like, it really means a lot, and you want to talk to Rav Usher about that. I have no clue if reaching out to that guy would have made any difference for his life, but it certainly would make a difference for you, because when you reach out to people out of the blue, it really makes a mark. In the same way that Rabbi Leibowitz 5-6 years later was, I mean, probably more by now, was around that, was reflecting on the point and how important it was to him that a 91-year-old took time out of their life to call him to be like, oh, your safer was great. We all, we all have that potential. You may even see, like, if you're, I don't know if you get an email, you find out, like, you're, someone you're not even so close to, their grandfather or relative passed away, you just send them a message. It also happened recently to me. I reached out to someone I probably haven't spoken to in 10 years, just to say, I'm sorry, I heard about your father passed away. And it means a lot. It really means a lot. And just a final idea I want to conclude with that really spoke to me about when I was reflecting on how literally having nothing to do with Rav Tendler and all I can get with from other people is just chashivas to old, anyone from West Hempstead? Oh, tough crowd. Okay, don't have to talk about that. But chashivas to having what to do with the Rebbeim. And obviously everyone, whatever shiur you're in, it's Rav Charnoff and Rav Khan shiur, but the other shiurim in the yeshiva as well, it doesn't matter what morning tater you're in, your morning tater Rebbe is incredible. It's really incredible, and God willing, you're all going to have a close kesher. But not, and as you mentioned, Yosef, which I was going to talk about, like, nothing can, I feel bad for you guys. I really do feel bad that you're not going to know Yosef, who worked in the kitchen, because it would have changed your lives. Like, it's literally, every time I see him and talk to him, like, it literally, it's not like, it really, really changes, it changes one's life to, you know, whatever upbringing you're coming from and, like, kind of feeling jaded to Judaism because, you know, you went through the modern Orthodox approach to life. But, you know, if I, you know, I can't imagine, like, growing up, like, non-Jew, being successful in the non-Jewish world, even though they were trying to, like, kill him because, you know, South America is not exactly, you know. Although, you know, with anti-Semitism, maybe it's not so different than other places in America. But, you know, South America is not exactly the same thing. And he was doing it, and he had to escape. Like, deciding to be a religious, growth-oriented Baal Mamon Jew is truly something else. But in this yeshiva, we have the major, major schus of having Rishamai Warman and Ramachlis. You're not going to get that in every yeshiva. It's an unbelievable schus. Now, I'm not telling you whatever you guys are doing in the afternoons. I'm not telling you that you should all switch out and, you know, there should be 80 guys in Ramachlis this year, although maybe there should. But that's not what I'm saying. But that's a major, major opportunity and something you're not going to get again after this year. And I've talked to guys who had Rishamai 35 years ago. I had Ramachlis 35 years ago, and they still talk about it as if it's yesterday. Like there's certain things in your life, you guys are pretty young, but there's certain things in my life, like, I can think back to, like, what happened, like, my first, like, Thursday in MTA. I was 13, that's 20-something years ago. It's going back literally 20 years, and it's literally as if I'm seeing that image in my head as I'm walking through it today. And these guys were talking about 25, 30, 35 years ago when they were in Rishamai and Ramachlis this year as if it was today. And that's not an opportunity you're gonna get every day. And you don't want it to, in some situation, like, you could just, you know, the guy who goes, and I'm sure they have people in Torah Shraga and Mifaseret that are of great stature too, like, yeah, they're not gonna have that exposure to Ramachlis. Like, I told, I had seminary girls over on Sukkot, and I said, you know, you should really try to go to Ramachlis for a meal. They may or they may not, but whatever kesher and whatever relationship they can have with Ramachlis is much different than a guy who's in Leva Torah that for 3.5 hours every afternoon, you know, you have the Rishamai every single morning, I think maybe in the break, and maybe in the afternoon also, he's in the base medrash. That's how one mice that also sticks to my head. When I was shun of bet, I saw him getting off the bus. He was my night sitter Rebbe, and he's like, oh, how's everything going? I'm like, it's good, just my roommate, the guy in my apartment is sick. So, without hesitating, like, oh, where do you live? Let's go to your apartment. And he went to, like, do a bigger cholim for the person. Like, that's not a stop. Like, probably if I told you, you know, the guy, the next unit over is sick, you're probably not thinking, oh, let me get up right now and go see how that guy is doing. And let alone with, if I hadn't bothered Rishamai, like, those 5 minutes of him walking to yeshiva, he was going to be thinking about, like, 20 daf of Gemara. He would have been doing something productive, but he doesn't look at it that way. These aren't stam individuals. It's a enormous, enormous, enormous schus to have them. And with everything, not that they're, you know, they're not 90, not that they're approaching that age, but as they get older and older, you know, you never know what one's ability and potential will be, you know, to yeshiva or in general, to really take full advantage and have what to do with them, because they are, you know, not on a knock on Rav Khan or Rav Charnoff, who are amazing and close chaverim of mine, but I think Rav Khan would be the first to admit that there is a, you'll have a different exposure if, like, you're able to, like, you have a chavrusa with Rishamai, like, you talk to him and you just see what it really means to, like, a guy who's kol haTorah kula while also kol haChesed kula in their lives. And Ramachlis is the same exact way. It's just different and really is something that should be taken advantage of. And you could think also, not knowing what shuls you're coming from, but probably if I had to, if I had to guess, you guys come from shul that have, that maybe you don't have so much to do with Rebbeim, rabbis, that they may be much older, and I'm sure there are very, very chashiv rabbanim in the shul that you're coming from across, you know, across, you know, America and Canada, from the UK as well, and to take that also to really have that opportunity to be able to connect and to see, and I guess as I get older, not that I'm so old, but as I get older, I think of this more and more. Why is it so sad when we lose somebody of you know, I guess we'll call it, you know, the previous generation when they're 40, 50, 60 years older than me? It's because it really is true. The older a person is, really is, the closer they are to Moshe Rabbeinu, and just closer to what a world was before the world was now, and which just really concluded this idea. And I was like thinking, like, as we were going through Parshas Bereishis, and like you just see like the creation of the world, and really, really anything. Like you just imagine like what it was like anything, just being created, was like to walk there, as opposed to, and like then, like, you know, you went out to, like, you know, the field. You had literally no distraction, and you just walked on whatever you went, or you went to the ocean or the beach, whatever you were doing. And as opposed to now, like, you know, we can't, even I went to the beach with the Chol Hamoed trip, and, you know, as phones generally do when you're at a beach, it's gonna get wet. You know, you hold it for a second, your hands are wet and sandy, they get wet, and like, you know, sometimes when your phone gets wet, like, you know, you have to take it out to clean it, otherwise, you know, parts of your phone, like, they're not operating that well. Like, I didn't really need my phone at that point, and I had to clean it at that point. Why? Because we're addicted, we're obsessed, and, like, it's just like a totally different world from what it was then. So when you think of someone who lived in 1930, you know, and, They literally, like, they couldn't have imagined they'd be getting to a world where, like, there's such a thing as, like, an iPhone, like, you know, they didn't have airplanes, no one flew, like, you know, you know, there weren't trains, like, you know, you basically had, like, a 2-mile, 3-mile radius from your home, and that was your life. Like, you weren't doing anything else. And when we lose that, you know, we're just getting closer and closer to the old people of being, the people who grew up with everything that's going on in the world, It's great the advancements in technology in the world, but it's a detriment to not know from people who knew of different times, and just to really take that to heart, to realize that there are incredible gedolim who are here, and it's an amazing privilege and schus and opportunity to be able to learn from them, and like anything that they share over, and definitely everyone that's ever been close with them, they're the luckiest people in the world. Like, their lives are changed changed forever. Just because, even if you don't keep in touch with them, just like remembering what it was like to then, we will conclude one story. When I worked in YU, which I guess I spent even more time in YU than I accounted for before, I used to daven in a minyan. You know Asher Becker? That Asher Becker, he ran the minyan. Every shul in minyan needs gabayim like him, who are just efficient. Like, sometimes you'll go to, like, receives like this. Sometimes you have gabayim and minyanim who have no IQ. You need minyan IQ people, otherwise minyanim never end, they never start. But this guy, I didn't even know him. I literally had no clue who he was, except the guy ran a very efficient minyan. One day, I see he's on, like, daf, like, Gimel of Bava Basra. I'm like, okay, daf Gimel of Bava Basra. And, like, 2 days later, I see he's on, like, Samach Dalad. And like 5 days later, he's like in the Kufs. I'm like, who is this guy? So I asked him, he's like, yeah, the guy like flies through shots, like, and knows it cold. And like, it's unbelievably inspiring to be able to see people like that. And that's literally, Rishabah and Ramachlis are that. Like, it's in your presence. It's in your grasp, and they want it to be taken. Like, Rishabah would literally, he'll talk to you about whatever you want to talk to. And like, unlike when you talk to like Rav Khan, who will tell you you're an idiot, grow up and shut up, Rav Shammai will actually make you feel great. Like, I wanted to ask the Shammai. My wife's like, no, ask Rav Shammai. Like, we need a cool. Like, I don't want to deal with the Chumrah. Like, ask a cool. Like, he'll make your life as easy as you want, and he'll make you feel great. Like, yeah, no, of course you can do it. Like, I mean, no one else really holds by that, but of course you can do it. Like, he'll make you feel unbelievable, and it's also a very good source in life to have, because if you get older and you really do need coolers, it's definitely helpful. And I wasn't making it up. I literally asked Rav Shammai a question today that my wife would not let me ask somebody else. You're like, no, Rav Shammai will give you the good psak. And true to form, however you want to look at it, Rav Shammai came through in the clutch like he always does. As Rav Charner said, you guys should have an incredible zman. Make the most of it. It will go by quickly, and the biggest regret people do have, and I talk to, probably outside of the tunnel, I talk to more alumni than anyone on staff on a consistent basis, And the biggest thing that they all tell me is I wish I had made more of my time, and it will, even though 2 hours, it really will feel long. And definitely, like, I mean, I enjoyed my recent Banas modifications, so I'm sure when Pesach comes, I'll be looking forward to that. It will feel long, but at the same time, it will go by very quickly. And whatever your life is going to be, and it's like crazy because I look back, you look back, also like people's lives, whatever it's going to be, it's really going to be based on what the next 6 months are. So you each owe it to yourselves to make the most of it, and to be thought-provoking people, and try to seek out and to have answers for any, you know, questions on Emunah or questions on how to be the best that you can be. Have a Chodesh Tov and a wonderful birthday.